I'd like to talk about forgiveness. I've been really inspired about this. And it's something, I like the song that they sang, I Am Forgiven. And I think back when I was forgiven of my sins. It was November 12th, 1971. The reason I remember, because he was saved Wednesday on the 10th. And then we got married Monday on the 15th, November of 71. So anyway, it was the most wonderful thing that's ever happened to me. And I know if you ask yourself, what is the most wonderful thing? If you're saved, you will agree. Being forgiven our sins is the most wonderful thing. We want to talk about forgiving each other in this message and how important it is. There's not many things that can cause sin, but that's one. It can lead to sin. If we keep unforgiveness in our heart, it can lead to bitterness and eventually lose our soul. So it's very serious that we are willing to forgive our brothers and sisters, our husbands and wives, our family, whoever it is that you have relationships with that you'll forgive. So I'd like to start reading over here. Of course, I want to quote the scripture in St. John 3 and 16. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. So God loved us so much that he died for us to be forgiven. And if we think about the debt that we owed, it was such a large sum we could never pay to get saved. Even if we were very, very, very rich, he didn't want our money. He doesn't want our money, and we can never pay to get saved. It was we're saved by grace. We're saved by the merited favor of God. The favor of God, his blood, cleanses us from all sin. I'm so thankful for the power of the blood of Jesus and how he forgives us of all the sin. And I look back over my life and I realize that it was only Jesus that has kept me from sin these many, many years. And it's only Jesus that has kept you from sin. It's very powerful. His blood is very, very powerful. His Holy Spirit is very powerful. And it's something I just can't ever get over it, and I don't want to get over it. It is so wonderful. I kept thinking about that song, what a wonderful has came into my heart. What a wonderful rot has came. Jesus has saved my soul. How's that go? What a wonderful change has come into me since Jesus saved my soul. Praise God. What a wonderful, wonderful thing. What a wonderful day. But we want to lay that foundation a little bit. What a wonderful change has come into my heart since Jesus saved my soul. So we realize that when we come across things that is hard for us to forgive, that we can look back and think, well, look what the Lord done for me. Look what he done for me. And I must forgive this person. And we know it's only for our own good. There's different quotes that I might mention this afternoon, but one is, when we forgive someone, it's like setting a prisoner free, and that prisoner is ourself. Because only unforgiveness only hurts us mostly. It hurts us. It hurts our spirit. It hurts us, our walk with God. But God sets us free. If anyone knows me, and my husband knows me pretty well, I love happiness. I don't like drama. I like things to go smoothly. I really don't want drama. I really don't want relationships where I'm not flowing and getting along. You know, I don't want that. And I do everything I can to keep out of that. And even at our best effort, sometimes things happen. And when you find yourself in that place that you hurt someone or they hurt you, just be willing to forgive and treat them like it never happened. That really is the victory. To treat them just like it never happened. That, you know, because when true forgiveness, we say, well, I remember it. Well, we might remember it, but we can say, you know, that's under the blood. That's just under the blood. I forgive that. And so I want to read the scripture, Ephesians 4 and 32. It says here, well, let's read above there a little bit. 31, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. You are not supposed to be speaking evil of our brothers and sisters or anyone. We're supposed to speak good. I remember Jerry's grandmother, if anyone was sitting around saying something about somebody, and maybe it was true, maybe they did have a fault, she would say something very good about them. She always say something good about them and change the subject. And you know, I was thinking, when you look at someone, you may see their faults maybe bigger than they even see themselves. They don't even see it themselves. But if you can just see the good in that person, look for the good in them, because there's usually good in everybody. I mean, I've just found that so in my life, that no matter if I think their personality doesn't click with mine, or if I think that they need to move up, I just rebuke those things, and I think, well, look how good they are. Look how they love the Lord. Look how they try. And, you know, it just helps me to love them. And I think about the disciples. You know, John, he leaned on Jesus' bosom. He was close to John, and they, even when they found out that there was going to someone betray, you know, the other disciple, I think it was even Peter, maybe whispered to John, said, you ask Jesus who it is, because, you know, you're close to Jesus. You ask him who it is. But, you know, that's a good thing. There's nothing wrong with us having good, close friends, and there's nothing wrong with that. And we may never be close to everybody, because it takes a lot of time to have relationships. But you know what? We can love everybody in the Lord. We can love everybody in the Lord with their heart. And we can just somehow pray for them. If you see a fault in them, pray for them that the Lord will help them to get the victory over it. And then ask the Lord to say, Lord, show me myself. Show me what am I doing? You know, show me me. And, you know, God will be faithful to show us things about ourselves so we can grow. But this one thing, I'm just telling you, saints, if I hadn't been able to forgive, I wouldn't be here. I wouldn't be here. And I'm not preaching something above what I've done in my life, because, and I still have to do it, I'm sure. But God, give me the grace to forgive. That song we sing, Now I Come, My Lord and Savior, and there says, Lord, I don't want anything to for me to shame thy cause and sinful live. I don't want. Do you know that people that have had unforgiveness in their heart has caused them to leave and never come back? Some people have never came back, never recovered. And you know, Brother Souders taught us something in Oklahoma City. He says, now, if your husband came home and you had someone hurt you really bad, it wasn't your husband, it was somebody else, but you were upset about it, and your husband comes home and you tell your husband, I'm leaving you because I've been hurt by this person so much that I'm leaving you. And your husband said, well, why are you leaving me? I didn't do it. That's just the same as if someone hurts you in the church and you say, I'm going to leave Jesus. I'm going to backslide. I'm going to go out. We got to be bigger than that. We got to be stronger than that. We've got to love Jesus and know that he died for our sins. He loves us. He loves us just like we are. We're going to read a little bit about Peter, too. But anyways, this is, be kind one to another, tender-hearted. Do you think that maybe we could get more tender-hearted? I'll tell them, I won't name her name, but one of my little granddaughters, she loves cats, and she found some cats here strayed. Actually, two of my granddaughters was searching for a couple hours trying to find these stray cats, and they went and bought cat food, and they want to feed these cats, and I was with her one night. We opened the can, poor little cat. It was so hungry. It was just, act like it was starving. It was just going after that cat food. But she's tender-hearted toward the cat. How much more so we should be tender-hearted, not just to animals, but to one another, that Jesus died for my brother. The same blood of Jesus that I'm saved with, they've got it flowing in their veins, in their, so to speak, you know what I mean? But it's flowing, it saved them from sin, that same blood. How much more should I love them? And so be kind and one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. If I asked in this audience or the congregation today, if anyone would raise their hand that they have never had to forgive anybody, I don't think I'd see a hand. That you never had to forgive somebody. We even have to forgive ourselves. There's a story I want to tell you a little bit. I won't name the name, but years ago, I got saved here. The first time I came on the campgrounds, I was 18, and I'm 7 years old. I'm in that special number now. The Lord, I give God all the glory. But, you know, years ago, there was a saint that they got diabetes in their leg. And I might have turned to gangrene. I don't know the whole story. I don't even know if the family pressured them or what. But they had to get it cut. They got it cut off. And after they did that, they could hardly forgive themselves. They just could hardly forgive themselves. And a minister was preaching on forgiveness. And they came to the altar crying. And they wanted the ministers to pray for them. And they said, I got a hold of it in this message. I got a hold of it that I can forgive myself. And that was a wonderful thing, right? And that's what I'm trying to say is let's be tenderhearted to those that get in these hard places in life. I mean, we don't know what we're going to have to face. I mean, I've been in a couple of car accidents and different things, and the Lord has helped me through it all, but I'm going to preach about myself. But anyway, I just praise him for that. And Colossians 3 and 13, let's turn over to there. This message is so very important. It's not because of me, it's the Bible, but 3:13, I just could hardly get it off my heart, but and I want to remember this message in my own heart. But it said in the 12th verse of Colossians, in the 3rd chapter, put on therefore as elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies. That sounds like a lot of mercies, like a big basket of mercies. Enormous bowels of mercies. Do you know when we're merciful to one another, God puts that mercy back on us. He puts it back on us. But if we're judgmental and critical, then God sometimes has to chastise us and spank us spiritually. But if we put on bowels of mercy, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another, and forgiving one another. What does forbearing one another? Putting up with each other. And, you know, I'm trying to direct my own, telling my own self, Lord, the power of words, and Lord, help me to be careful with my tongue. And sometimes I say things, I think I'm a little bit like Peter. I don't know if I'm totally like the disciple Peter. But sometimes my personality at home, you can ask my husband, I'm fast and he's slow. And so I have to really be careful with that. But sometimes I say things that maybe don't just come out the way I really mean it in my heart. And I have asked the Lord to help me. But, you know, we're all different human beings. And we're all different. We're all got ways. We got to forbear with one another. Forbear with one another and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. And when I get through the message, I'd like to sing number 9, the bond of perfectness. I believe we have more love and unity. I have felt it in this than ever. I am not trying to condemn anybody. Please don't take it that way. I'm just trying to encourage us and to forgive and have what and grow in grace and grow what how God wants us to be. And you know, there are some people, I'm telling you, my family, and one is my husband or my children, if I offend them in anything, I am quick, I want it to clear it up. I can't be happy like I want to be happy. And we have a family member, you don't know him, but he said to Jerry, he's older now, him and his wife are both in their 70s, and he said, I just can't argue with my wife anymore. He said, I get sick to my stomach. He said, I just can't do it anymore. And, you know, we find that when we get older. We're just done with that. We don't want any arguments. Not that we ever liked it, but we're not as feisty. We're just too tired to argue. We just want to get along. And, you know, that's the way we want to be in the church. Not that we all got to grow old to get that way, but We don't want drama. We don't want. And, you know, sometimes they blame the little girls because they have more drama. Maybe they do because but they're sweet. And men have to understand that things affect them emotionally. But, you know, we can help them and we can bear with that. And, you know, I just think that'd be good for husbands and wives to understand each other better. You know, men to understand women better and women try to understand them better. And I read this one story. It's a true story, but I don't even know who wrote it, but I read it. And it was about a husband and wife that was planning on getting a divorce. And she didn't want to. I don't think he really wanted to either. But she took a basin of water, like we have feet washing, and she put his feet in that water. And she cried and washed his feet. And she goes, "As I'm washing your feet, I am forgiving you of everything you ever did to me." And they got together and were able to stay married. Because she was wanting that marriage to work so much that she was willing. You know, we washed each other's feet not very long ago. I believe the Lord's trying to tell us something in that. To forgive one another and love one another. And, you know, sometimes when I'm washing someone's feet, I'll pray for them. I pray for them. Help these feet. Help these people. Help to carry on in the gospel work. Or if not, you know, just to stay saved, you know. And it's real, real good thing to do. But above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. Now let's turn, please, over to St. Luke 6:36. God help us to forgive. And not only forgive, but I think we can maybe go a little farther. I think about that song. It says, "Let us go a little farther, farther than we've gone before. Are we workers now for Jesus? Let's do a little bit more." I am the oldest in my family, and then I have a brother that's about 5 years younger, and then my youngest sister is about 10 years younger. We live 1,100 miles apart. I was married at 18 years old. My little sister was 8 years old. She tells me so many times that she misses being close geographically to me. But if I may have been 25 years or 30 years ago, I can't remember. God spoke to me one time. We had friendship and everything. We were nothing between us. But the Lord spoke to me and says, "Get closer to your sister." I mean, I know he told me that. And she's saved in another church, but the Lord said, "I want you to put more of an effort to get closer to your sister." So what I'm saying today, get closer to your spiritual sisters and your spiritual brothers. Not just to forgive, but find some way to get closer to them. 1,100 miles, so I started sending cards. I started sending little gifts. I started calling her more often, talking to her. Now we'll talk about an hour, so she loves to talk to me. And she lives in the war West Virginia, which is like the southernmost part of West Virginia. And she doesn't have a whole lot of, you know, contacts. And she loves me and I love her. I try to go 2 or 3 times to West Virginia. And, you know, what I'm trying to say is God spoke to me that. To put more for an effort to be close to my natural sister. What about us? Do we have any family that's not maybe with the saints that we need to reach out to and be closer to them? Or, you know, just whoever it is, let God open up your heart and talk to you. Let's read 6:36 of Luke. It says here, "Be therefore merciful, as your Father also is merciful. Judge not, and ye shall not be judged. Condemn not, and ye shall not be condemned. Forgive, and ye shall be forgiven." You know, that's one thing. You know, I have lived free from sin all my life, but I have made mistakes. But you know what? And we, as saints, I believe on a regular basis, if we make a mistake, we go to the Father. We go to Jesus and ask him to forgive us. We're very tender towards that, I think. And we want to make sure everything's clear with God. But this is a condition for him to forgive us, is how we treat each other and how we forgive each other. I want to turn over to Mark 11:25. We ask the Lord to help us somehow to improve. We need it. We all probably need it. I know I need it. I need it. I want to be close to my family. Right now, you know, we're close to our daughters and sons. I give them son cards. I don't even give them son-in-law cards. They're my sons. I didn't have a son. So, I mean, they're my sons and my grandsons and just all. Now I have two great-granddaughters. But the ones that have got married in the family, I just love them all. And, you know, I just want to show them the love I can show them while I'm alive. And Mark 11, and we can find ways to do it. Mark 11 and 25 says, "And when ye stand praying, forgive. If ye have aught against any, that your Father also which is in heaven may forgive you your trespasses." Well, you might say, like I said, we believe in living free from sin, but we make mistakes. I mean, we're human. So if we want God to forgive us, and it says, even if you went as far as to sin, you have an advocate with the Lord Jesus Christ the righteous, and he'll forgive you. But if we want the Lord to forgive us, it says, "But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father which is in heaven forgive your trespasses." I have heard people say this that wasn't right with the Lord, and they said, "I just can't forgive it. It's just too, I can't forgive that person. It's just too much what they did to me. I can't do it." You can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth you. There is probably hard things, people. I had good parents. They weren't with the saints, but I had wonderful parents. I haven't had to forgive some things that some people have had to forgive. I haven't had that many hard things in my life. I've had a few things, but not that much. And I know there's some conditions and things that people have done that it's very hard to forgive. But through Jesus Christ, you can do it. And, you know, you can do it. You can forgive. And you can be what God wants you to be. And you can forgive. Because I want us all to go to heaven. I said, if you do not forgive, neither will your Father which is in heaven forgive your trespasses. We want to turn over to Matthew 18. This is actually, when I got thinking about this message, the Lord started talking to me. I was thinking a lot about Peter. But we'll get to that in a minute. Few minutes here, Lord willing. Matthew 18 and 21. It says here, "Then came Peter to him and said, Lord, how oft shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Till seven times?" I think maybe Peter thought that would be enough. There's really no number. I mean, there's a number, but it's just so much in a day that you just have to forgive. "But Jesus saith unto him, I say not unto thee until seven times, but until 70 times seven. Therefore is the kingdom of heaven like unto a certain king, which would take account of his servants. When he had begun to reckon, one was brought unto him which owed him 10,000 talents. Now I had written down 1,000,000. I had also written down 875,000 sterling, a king's ransom. So I don't know the exact number, but I know it was a great number. A great number. Of owed this 10,000 talents meant a great number. But for as much as he had not to pay." See, that's just like us. We got saved. We had nothing to pay to get saved. It was all Jesus' grace. We had nothing. And Jesus saved us, and for as much he had not to pay, the Lord commanded him to be, no, he said, yeah, sold, and his wife and children, all that he had, and payment to be made. The servant therefore fell down and worshipped him, saying, Lord, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. Then the Lord of that servant was moved with compassion, loosed him, and forgave him the debt. But the same servant went out and found one of his fellow servants, which owed him 100 pence. Now, I read this in the commentary, and I'm not sure. I'm just quoting what I read. I don't know if that's correct. Is it compared to maybe $20? I mean, the big difference there. But it says, anyway, it's a very smaller amount, which owed him 100 pence, and he laid hands on him, took him by the throat, saying, pay me that thou owest. His fellow servant fell down his feet and besought him, saying, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. That's an example of what it's like when we have ugliness and unforgiveness, when Jesus has forgave us of so much. And then we think, you know, they made me mad or they made me upset and I'm not going to forgive. No, we can never be like, Jesus doesn't want us to be like that. I'll put that. If you're that way, you've got to ask the Lord to help you. Get the grace. If you have to fast and pray over it, get the grace of God to forgive that person. And his fellow servant fell down at his feet and besought him, saying, have patience with me. He would not, but went and cast him into prison that he should pay the debt. So when his fellow servants saw what was done, they were very sorry and came and told unto their Lord all that was done. Then his Lord, after that he had called him, said unto him, O thou wicked servant, I forgave thee all that debt because thou desirest me. Shouldest not thou have had compassion on thy fellow servant, even as I had pity on thee? And his Lord was wroth and delivered him to the tormentors till he should pay all that was due unto him. So likewise shall my heavenly Father do also unto you, if ye from your hearts forgive not every one his brother their trespasses. Isn't that serious? We must forgive. And the more we will be so happy in this life as we can just keep casting these things on the Lord and forgiving and going on and just keep forgiving and going on and keep forgiving and going on, no matter how many times you got to do it, just keep it. Keep forgiving. And it, you know, I know we have minds and the devil brings it back, but we say, I love my brother, I love my sister, I'm going on, I mean to go right on until I get to heaven. I'm not going to let these things hinder me. These are just little things, just little minute things sometimes compared to God, you know, compared to getting to heaven. It's not worth it. It's not worth it to lose your soul over. Matthew 6, 14 and 15. It says here, for if ye forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if ye forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. And I'm not going to go to this about Peter, but you know that Peter denied the Lord. But you know the Lord showed me something about that. Peter loved God. He loved Jesus. He denied the Lord because he was afraid. He was afraid that they were going to capture him and put him on a cross or do something, you know. He was afraid for his life. And it wasn't the right thing to do. I'm not taking that for Peter, but I'm saying God looks at our motives. He looks at our motives, why we did it. If we just turn our back on God and deny him, you know, but if we did it because we're afraid of persecution or something comes in our life, and we say something to somebody because we're afraid they're going to persecute us. God understands our heart. And he understood Peter. And so, you know, I thought it was Jesus. But after Jesus, you know, Peter, when he denied, heard the cock crow three times, he went out and wept bitterly. The Lord warned him what was going to happen to him. But if you know, notice, I believe it's the, let's see, I think it's the end of St. John, where God went back to him. Jesus went back to him after the resurrection, and he asked him to feed his sheep. I think it's the last chapter of St. John. I can get it. And he says to him, Simon, the 15th verse, 21st, but first we want to get, Peter went out and wept bitterly. And then when Jesus arose from the grave, I thought it was Jesus that said that, but it was an angel. If you study that, it was an angel that said, go tell the disciples and Peter, if I got it right, I studied out, and Peter. Anyway, he was included as a disciple. See, he was letting him know that he was forgiven for denying the Lord. And then Peter went on, when the day of Pentecost, you know, how he preached to thousands of souls were saved, and he went on to live for the Lord. As far as I understand, right? When he died on the cross, he died on the cross. He said, I will not die like my Lord turned me upside down. So Peter finished his race after that, you know, so we don't want to give him too hard of a time. See, we want to understand people. We understand he done wrong, yes. But he turned around and he did better. And he was just a fast person. He's the one that climbed out of the boat. Well, if you're walking on the water, let me walk on the water. But, you know, something good about Peter, he got experiences that other people didn't have, so it's not always bad to be fast, because sometimes you get experiences that other people don't get if they're slower and stayed in the boat. But he got out of the boat and walked on water. So, you know, Peter, he loved the Lord. And when God came back to him, when Jesus came back to him after the resurrection, in the 10th verse of the 21st chapter of St. John, Jesus saith unto them, bring of the fish which ye have now caught. And it was 153. Remember, they fished all night and they couldn't get any fish. And then after Jesus blessed them, they got all this fish. And Jesus said unto them, come and dine. And then he taketh bread and giveth them and fish likewise. This is now the third time that Jesus showed himself alive, showed himself to his disciples were after that he had was risen from the dead. So when they had dined, Jesus saith to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? Or do you love me more than these fish? He tells us that all the time, doesn't he? Do you love me more than this stuff? And he said, Lord, you know that I love thee. He saith unto them, feed my lambs. He saith unto him the second time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? He saith unto me, yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, feed my sheep. He saith unto him the third time. He denied the Lord three times, and the Lord asked him three times, will you be willing to feed my sheep? He says a third time. He saith unto him the third time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Peter was grieved because he said unto him the third time, lovest thou me? And he said unto him, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. Jesus saith unto him, feed my sheep. So Peter was forgiven. I think I've pretty well covered the main scriptures I want to read, but I do want to read some quotes that I wrote down. It was very good. Never forget the three powerful resources we have available to us to get to heaven. Now, we have salvation. I'm talking about we have it already. We have sanctification. But these are the three conquerors that we have to make it through life. We have three resources. Love. When you're not forgiving someone, you don't have the amount of love, right? So you love prayer. You can conquer when you have prayer. Whatever comes into your mind, you can conquer through Jesus' name. And forgiveness. Love, prayer, forgiveness will take you through life all the way to heaven. You know, I'm saying besides the blood. I'm saying besides being saved and sanctified. One of the greatest gifts you can give yourself is to forgive everybody. To err is human. To forgive is divine. Mistakes are always forgivable if we have the courage to admit them. You know, we have to even admit them to God. If we come to God and try to make excuses, which I have done sometimes, the Lord dealt with my conscience and said, you know, you're making excuses to me, but I know all about you. You just confess up, because confess it to me. And when I did, then I was able to have the courage to realize and accept my mistake and ask God to help me. To forgive is to set a prisoner free and discover that the prisoner is you. Forgiveness is the fragrance that the violet sheds on the heel that has crushed it. Have you ever seen one of saints that have been crushed by maybe something that was very hurtful? And out of their spirit comes a fragrance, because they see what they went through and they forgive and they let it go. And when you see that, that's what God wants in all of our lives. He wants that spirit. That when you're crushed, you can come out with fragrance. And forgive him. To forgive is to treat as though the offense was not committed, but that the matter shall be buried and forgotten. That's how we should try to do. The servant's unreasonable severity toward his fellow servant. Do not worry. Do not wrong your neighbor, for that can be a sin against God. The debt of sin is so great, we are not able to pay it. That was what I was reading. Though we live wholly on mercy and forgiveness, we are sometimes backward to forgive the offenses of our brethren. You and I must never be weary of forgiving your brethren. since you and I are so much more indebted to the divine mercy that your fellow creatures can be to yours. In other words, we're living under divine mercy from God. We're living under his forgiveness, his blood, his grace, everything. So we must forgive others. I mean, pray for me. I want to live up to this. God gives me something I want to live up to and share with you to help you.